This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Milwaukee, start your engines. It's time to talk about all things racing. NASCAR, IndyCar, sports cars, and Formula One. This is the Final Inspection Show, presented by the legendary Great Lakes Dragway in Union Grove. Now, here's your host, Steve Zocchi.
And welcome back to the Final Inspection Show. Steve Zocchi along with Jeff Orlowski. And last week they had the 25th annual Amelia Island Concourse, probably the best concourse in North America. And the honor this year was Roger Penske. And it's been a who's who of honorees over the years. You're looking at Bobby Unser, Johnny Rutherford, Richard Petty, Dan Gurney. Just everybody who's worthy has certainly been honored, and of course this year was Roger Penske, who is such a giant now in motorsports and has been for many years. And Eddie Lapine from RacingNation.com had the opportunity to interview Mr. Penske at Amelia Island last week.
Well, it's just an amazing place when you look at the history here and the people have been honored in the past 25 years. But I think it's a team of people here that have, you know, such a passion for cars and racing, and the demographics, young kids and parents and people that are collectors, and then to have the auctions here, it's just a tremendous event.
You've heard about it over the years, and you know there's been so many wonderful people that have been honored at this. I mean, what's your take after just walking around with getting a tour with Bill Warner and seeing all these cars? I mean, especially, we just did the photo shoot with you and all your cars that you saw in one spot. I mean,
yeah, that one I couldn't believe. That it blew me away to see all the cars that we've had opportunities to compete with and build, and the people behind it are the most important part of that. That's that human capital that have done so much for us. To see it all in one place is really a chance in a lifetime.
So it's been a whirlwind the last few months with the acquisition of Indianapolis and all that's going on at Penske Corp. And next week you're getting ready to race and open up at St. Pete. Everything ready to go?
Yeah, we're excited to talk to the promoters here in the last couple of days. Ticket sales are up. We're going to have 26 or 27 cars there. IndyCar will. So it shows we've got real momentum coming off last year. So we're excited.
And we really got a really good rookie field this year.
Oh, you look at the young guys. These guys are standing on the gas, and I think you're going to see some great success with them this year. We're going to have to have our games up, all of us.
And now with coming to Indy this year and owning it, lots of changes.
Well, we're making changes to make the guest experience better, and you'll see things that we're doing both inside and outside the track, which we hope will make a difference. And to me, you know, we need to invest long term in the track, And I think that, you know, that's our goal this year.
And you mentioned just in a press conference, possibly maybe F1 could be something down the road?
Well, we're looking at, can we have a Formula One race? Can we have a long distance race? They got MotoGP or similar type MotoGP. But we want to make it special. We want, if you're going to race it in Indianapolis, it's got to be special.
And, you know, it's like your home. I mean, it's where you're going to have all your legacy, definitely.
Well, we've owned it on the inside. Now we own it on the outside.
Pretty interesting stuff from Eddie Lapine, who was at Amelia Island. And Roger was everywhere last week, wasn't he, at Amelia?
Well, I mean, it was just incredible. I mean, just to get those few minutes with him, because he was just nonstop, flat out, from when he got off the plane, meeting. I mean, Amelia Island is really a great event, and they have Porsche has a dinner, Mercedes has a dinner, you know, and they take him around. And he was blown away when he was walking. I ran into him while Bill Warner was giving a tour, and he couldn't believe it. And just like you said, I mean, to see all his cars, that was the first time that all the Camaros were together in one photo op ever.
And it certainly has to, you know, he's a guy that always looks forward, but he certainly does have an appreciation, but doesn't live in the past, but definitely has you know, understands the past and recognizes it and appreciates it. And I thought a pretty cool thing. I was talking to a buddy who had a car down there last week, and, you know, they were all done with the photo opportunity. And then Mr. Penske, showing the class that he is, says, "Hey, I want a photo with the owners." And he had a group photo with the owners, and then individually with all the owners. I thought that was a nice touch. And that's certainly the kind of person he is, isn't he?
Well, I mean, nobody takes the time. And when he's in that situation, he always, I mean, everybody needs to see how he handles situations like that. And the owners just, because I know several of the owners that had cars there, and, you know, they were in heaven because, you know, they're all the people that own a car and invest all that money, it's a piece of history. And when you see the owners get that time with one of the people that made that car famous, it's unbelievable. And the whole weekend was filled with that. You know, the attendance was up, I mean, and to be able to be a part of Roger Penske being honored was huge, really, because he really is not the guy that goes to a lot of vintage things.
Right.
It's usually all business. I mean, the guy's on the box, he's spotting, he's hands-on, he's making sure everything's lined up. I mean, I could tell you stories of watching him in the middle of everything, working with the guys that work for him. So,
yeah, and, you know, it's interesting when you look back at, you know, with that event, it could be the last event for a while. There's always that debate, well, should they have ran it or should they not? I think they should have ran it. But now, looking back, you were at St. Petersburg this weekend. Were they going to race? Okay, they are going to race. No fans, and then it got canceled. Kind of walk us through how did it feel in the paddock on pit road this weekend at St. Pete?
I actually got home last night at midnight. I was there from Thursday morning, very early Thursday morning, and we knew this was happening. My phone was ringing off the hook from people from Europe that were. We already knew that this was going down with the virus, and this is a big deal. And when you get these people and all the flying that these people do to come here, and this is how it's getting transmitted, they wanted to do the right thing. And I got there, I arrived, and I knew that this, and they were in negotiations to try to close the track and just have a race without any fans. And then yesterday, the negotiation, they stopped the two-seat rides and pace car rides on Thursday, and then they had races testing yesterday, and there was a couple crashes, and that's when I think NASCAR and IndyCar within a half hour made a joint decision to just stop the event. And, you know, walking around, it was, I don't want to sound so negative. I mean, I've been around racing for 40 years and it was like going to a funeral. I mean, you watch these guys, the behind the scene guys, the people, I mean, the spectators on TV don't get to see these guys. And it was like going through the motions as they take this stuff down.
Oh, sure.
And pack up and leave.
Especially with IndyCar, you're talking about a sport that's basically off almost 6 months out of the year. So you get all hyped up, you get ramped up. You had the test at the Circuit of the Americas a few weeks ago. Everybody's, you know, ramping up St. Pete. And then it's like, okay, we're going to go to St. Pete. We should be running. You get down there. Okay, well, no fans. And it's like, no, we're not running. So now it's like, well, we're here, and it's got to be, it has to be such a letdown to be so close. You know, if this thing was canceled on Tuesday or Wednesday, I think it would have been a lot easier for these guys. But to go through the semantics of the travel, the setup, and everything else is just brutal.
Well, it is. I mean, this is a big deal. And, you know, you have sponsors that are paying and sponsors. I mean, deals are being done on Thursday. I mean, they were being done this week for sponsorship deals for race teams, race drivers, and all that stuff, meetings, and to watch it just, you know, I mean, this is a serious thing. And now it looks like, you know, and in the 24-hour span, now Long Beach has been canceled. Alabama's been canceled.
Right.
NASCAR canceled Homestead. And it doesn't look like there's going to be a race for Indy cars till the Indy Grand Prix right now.
Right.
And hopefully, you know, they can come up with some type of flu shot or something to try to correct this for people. And I mean, it's just the whole town. I mean, the economic impact also is another thing that, you know, brings $50 to $100 million into St. Pete, over $100 million into Long Beach. People depend on this, and you're going to see it really hurt the economy in these times with everybody.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. Like Birmingham, they could move that to the end of the schedule, especially with it being in Alabama. Weather should not be an issue. They could run that in October. Long Beach is certainly frustrating. You know, of course, they had just started to do some of the infrastructure with the barriers and the fencing, and Jim Macklin is like, well, I don't want to call it canceled. It's a postponement right now, but I would say the odds are pretty long with Long Beach being taken care of.
Steve, they're already trying to work it into the Monterey swing for sports car racing and IndyCar, that, you know, on the West Coast swing. So Jim is a pretty resilient character.
Yes, he is.
And if anybody could get it done, he will. When he says it's postponed, it's postponed. And, you know, they moved to Sebring. Now, I was set to go to Sebring, and I was set to go to Long Beach, set to come to Milwaukee in a couple weeks. And, like, with Long Beach or with Sebring next weekend, now that's been postponed. The WEC race will not be rerun. But the 12-hour race is going to be run November 11th right now. That's the new date.
Okay.
So, I mean, there's, you know, they're trying to back stuff up and make accommodations and try to make things happen. But, you know, we're all at the fate of what happens worldwide. I mean, I talked to drivers yesterday and even to this morning in Italy, and they're going to be shutting down, locking down Germany too as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's scary. It is.
So with you being in the Orlando area, Eddie, what you know, what's the mood and stuff down there with Disney being closed, and just how weird of a vibe is it down there now?
Well, the traffic's a lot better.
I bet. I bet.
I'm trying. I made good time getting home yesterday. So, no. I feel really bad about, you know, when you think about people plan vacations. And I talked to a woman today that works for Disney in the call center, and they're just slammed. Because just like me, I'm trying to make, you know, get my points back and for flights, and it's crazy in that end of it. And then to see that Disney shutting down, Universal shutting down, I mean, we're not really feeling it yet, but I think after Sunday, when they do close Disney, I think you're really, it's hitting home. Definitely.
So Disney is still open, but they're just going to close it on, or they're not letting anybody else in then, or?
Well, on Sunday, I think it's shutting down from my last.
Okay.
We haven't, you know, that's what I was told last night. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, and I think Universal, they're all going to follow suit with that. So, you know, you have tourists, I mean, a couple drivers, Lawrence Vanter from Porsche, he was stuck here. He's been here like 3 weeks. He can't go home. He lives in Belgium. And he's not, it's not like he's not happy to be here in Florida.
Right.
There's, time of the year.
There's certainly worse places to be stuck in Florida.
Yeah. So, but, you know, everyone's at the will of.
He's lucky that race isn't in Cleveland.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. But as you saw,
good times
on the
in
Facebook,
Cleveland.
I jumped on a helicopter when they were throwing me out of the pitch yesterday.
What's the story with that?
The story was, I posted some pictures. The media, the guys that do the filming for the TV down in St. Pete, had a helicopter, and they had room for me. So I jumped in for a spin. And it was amazing. It was really tough to see the track empty.
Sure.
I did post some of those pictures on the Facebook. And we're just, you know, going to see what happens in the next few weeks with this.
It'll be interesting. I mean, I've made a lot of excuses for getting and not getting this stuff done around the house. And I think this is, you know, this is. It's going to be step-up time. Time to do some painting, you know, some touch-up work, get those projects done that you've been trying to do, and you know, just deal with it and get caught up on your television time, too. I mean, people are panicking about sports, but, I mean, I just finished up a little mini-series on McMillions that was on HBO. Very entertaining story about...
Steve, I just got off watching Netflix. They had Drive to Survive, F1.
Okay, highly that's another one, yeah.
Highly lot of, rated.
Yeah.
The new episodes are out for this year, and I tell you, the camera work and what they've done with that, I think Christian Horner should give up being a F1 boss and be an actor. He's really good.
I'll plug Homeland on Showtime. It's their final season, and so far it's been a hell of a good one.
Interesting. McMillions is interesting because it talks about the Monopoly game and how in nearby Jacksonville for Eddie, how there was a scandal. A guy was stealing tickets and that. It's very interesting how it developed and
really?
how they just kind of stumbled upon it. And it started in about 1999. And, you know, it's interesting that it was a big story for a very short time until September 11, 2001. And then it got wiped out. And the timing of that, because of that, it was kind of took it off the national media for a while, and it, uh-huh. it kind of went away. But, yeah, it's a really interesting. I highly, highly recommend it if you can.
Was it about him just stealing tickets, or
no,
was it about them rigging the whole
conspiracy.
Thing?
It's a
yeah,
huge.
Yeah, the whole thing was rigged.
Yeah, it's very, very interesting.
Okay.
So, highly entertaining. The interviews and everything, how they set it up, it's fantastic, so.
Might make a trip up to Jacksonville to go to the Brumos Museum.
Like you can't because the Brumos Museum is closed.
Oh, jeez. You know, and you know what? You know what? I got to brag about this for a second. One second. Hurley's like, text me. Hurley Haywood text me Where were you? You weren't here for the grand opening. I had you on the list.
Oh.
Please take a picture. I want to cherish that. I was on the list. How do you like that, Steve?
Not bad. Not bad.
Yeah, not it's bad. With everything being closed. I was talking to my wife last night, and I said, you know, you think that the panic is bad now? I said, wait until 2 to 4 Starbucks employees test positive for the coronavirus, and all the white suburban women start freaking out. You know, then the panic is going to hit.
The soccer moms.
Oh, man, all hell is going to break loose.
Hey, I'm worried too. I mean, I go to Starbucks. Come on.
But I guarantee you, if this was during the NFL season, we'd have a vaccine by now. Because Roger Goodell would have seriously wrote a damn check for about $6 billion and said, we're not losing 80,000 fans, you know, times 16 every single week. There would have been a cure.
He would have paid for all the health care for all the football fans, huh?
Oh, absolutely.
And Jerry Jones would have probably chipped in, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It would have been solved.
I think that's a good thought. Yeah, that would never happen during Super Bowl, would it? Uh-huh.
No.
This would never happen.
No.
I think that's why they waited for a while. Seems like they waited for the beginning of racing season, unfortunately.
Yeah, talking about football, you know, of course, the XFL pulled the plug on it, and a Seattle player now. Seattle, I mentioned in the first hour how the Seattle, Washington State has the most cases right now. A Seattle player for the Dragons or whatever has tested positive for COVID-19.
I haven't watched one second of the XFL.
I liked it. It moves quick. It was, you know, it's not appointment TV, but if you flip through the channels, I'll watch it for a little bit. It was entertaining.
If the XFL is going up against Family Feud, Family Feud's winning.
Yeah, I like Family Feud.
Richard Dawson.
Well, Steve Harvey's good now, too.
Steve Harvey. I love Steve. He's funny.
Yes, he is. He does a great job.
He does.
All right, well, Eddie, we certainly – yeah.
Well, we can't do any predictions.
No predictions, nope. Maybe the predictions we're looking at is when do you think racing returns?
I really hope that it returns May, you know, the month of May, Indy 500.
Right.
Really. I definitely, that would.
I think if we start opening up the spigot the 1st of May and then May 15th, we're, you know, getting things together and just having, you know, just the people at risk, you know, still keeping them kind of down, and then hitting full speed by Memorial Day, we'll be able to get through this. If it goes past Memorial Day, then I think we're going to start having issues. So, but I think because everything what everybody is hunkering down and we're doing this right now. I'm hoping. By doing this and everybody kind of pitching together, we'll be able to beat this thing. So, Eddie, we certainly appreciate you coming on the show.
Well, I just ordered 3 cases of toilet paper on Amazon right now, and they said it's like a 3-month wait.
I believe it because for Grins, I went on there a couple days ago looking for it, and I was not able to find anything in stock except some stuff over from China with Chinese markings, which I wasn't going to get.
No.
What are we going to do? Well,
going to get stuff done. Going to watch some TV, some Amazon Prime, some Netflix, and watch other stuff that I've taped that I haven't watched. And life goes on.
I know. I'm going to watch Ford versus Ferrari. I have not seen it yet.
There you go.
Is that crazy?
That's appointment TV. So
that is definitely. Well, you guys, I be safe up there.
Yeah, you too, Eddie.
In fact, I'm giving you guys an assignment. In 2 weeks, we'll do a kind of a racing movie symposium reviews. So watch the, you know, we'll kind of have everybody back on. We'll talk about racing movies in a couple weeks. So, Eddie,
that sounds good.
Appreciate you coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, guys. You take it easy.
You too.
That includes the please a lady. I'll be sending you guys text messages with homework assignments.
Oh, geez, I can't wait.
Yeah,
I'll
good times.
Get some cheat notes.
You bet. That was Eddie Lapine on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Has your passion outgrown your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit GreatMidwestBank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935.
Coming up next, we got three questions with Larry. Welcome back to the Final Inspection Show. Steve Zotke along with Jeff Orlowski, and we are a sports station, so we have some, I wanted to just get you caught up real quickly what's going on in football, especially pertaining to the Packers. Interesting one name that's been bandied about, you know, Packers with their tight end issues, releasing Jimmy Graham. You know, would they sign Hunter Henry? No. Hunter Henry, Chargers, the Los Angeles Chargers are actually going to use a franchise tag on Hunter Henry. The Titans released Delanie Walker, the excellent tight end, especially if you had him in fantasy last few years. Had a kind of an off year with a lot of injuries last couple of years, though. He's getting up in age. I don't think the Packers are going to be looking at that because I think unfortunately, it'll be a similar situation what they had with Jimmy Graham. I think they're looking for somebody younger. The Vikings purging a lot of their high-priced talent by releasing Xavier Rhodes, their quarterback, along with defensive tackle Linville Joseph. So that's kind of interesting what's going on with them, with the Minnesota Vikings in Minnesota. And tight ends, you think we're going to be looking, are they drafting another person, free agency, looking at the fellow from the Falcons. Where do you think they'll go on that, Jeff?
If I had to guess, they would go cheap in free agency on a tight end and then draft one as well. And then, you know, you're still hoping that Tanyan,
Sternberger
develop. I like both of them. And, so I would save that draft pick because there's enough other holes on that team right now that need to get plugged more than the tight end. We've played without a tight end. How long has Jimmy Graham been here? That's how long we've played without a tight end. So,
and Austin Hooper, he's, fantasy, yeah, good player. Does he fit into what the Packers are trying to do? My feeling is I think somebody's going to overpay for him.
We haven't had a tight end since Jared Cook, and unfortunately we let him go. That was a mistake. But
if you look at Jared Cook, so is a lot of other teams too, though.
Well, I know. We'll see what happens. Yeah. But
lots of time to speculate.
Of course.
Speaking of speculation, let's talk with Larry Janicek on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Larry, thanks for holding.
You bet, no problem, Steve and Jeff. Nice to hear your voice today.
Oh,
is it really?
Yeah, for sure.
Larry is lying. He comes on the air.
Yeah,
he has,
I know.
3 seconds, he tells his first lie.
No. It's something sports related that isn't from 10 years ago. Really.
Well, talk to us, Larry. What do you got for today?
Well, they didn't get the race at Atlanta, the NASCAR, but I noticed that for the fourth time this season, out of 5 races, the Cup Series only had 38 cars, too short of a full field. The only full field they had was at Daytona for the opening race of the season, which is always bigger than anything else. And I wonder, do you think that's to the point where NASCAR really doesn't care if they put 40 cars out there? I could see when they were on the West Coast, some of the fringe teams, cup teams, wouldn't haul out there although it was three races in 3 weeks, but that's a lot of money keeping a crew out there. But here they are right in their mainstream area, Atlanta. You know, what is that, 6 hour drive from Charlotte, and they can't even get a full field there. It just seems to me that they don't really care about it, and I don't know happens to that money from the two positions they don't have to pay, if that goes into some kind of fund or what. But I just thought that's kind of interesting. In fact, I think I heard that they're actually reducing the field next year to 38 from 40.
Yeah, it would not surprise me. And no, they don't really mind. They would rather have the 30, as long as they have a 36 charter teams, that's all they're looking for. When you start doing an inclusion like that, when things are good, that's fine. But when times get tough, you know, the one series we've seen this happen the most is IMSA throughout the years, where they have these ebbs and flows of factories. They'll have a lot of factory support. Fields are looking good. The independents kind of get pushed out. And then the factories decide, we're not going to spend the money. And then they're trying to lure back the independents. And somewhat that way with NASCAR, with these charter systems, okay, we want to lock up the charter guys. Great. But I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, you know, the adage of, you know, you're not going to pack the stadium with a local guy, but it's going to cause some interest having this local short track guy, like you used to be able to run at whether it was Milwaukee, Atlanta, even Chicagoland, or back in the day in Charlotte. I mean, that was the mainstay of Junie Donlevy in the early 70s. They would have a kind of a driver of the week race at Charlotte in Junior Donlevy's number 94. So, you know, it's tougher for the underdog type guy to get into the Cup Series and run a couple one-off races. And to be honest, I don't think they care. They really don't. Mm. As long as they have their 36, they're fine with that.
Okay. Now, based on what was going to happen at Atlanta, where they were going to run the races with no crowd, in your mind, does that really solidify how much the TV money means versus a live gate to NASCAR?
Well, they were going to do it out of, you know, necessity, because of the national emergency and everything like that. So they wouldn't have been able to have that many people in one location at the same time. So they were going to do it out of necessity. And yes, it would have been painful for Atlanta Motor Speedway, because all that money, I don't know if they charge for parking or not, but all the gate money, food money, concessions, merchandise, all that kind of stuff is all gone.
Would have looked like an Xfinity race, that's all.
Well, exactly. And, you know, that's what I was going to say, that all these drivers, I don't want to race in front of empty stands. What, you never raced in the Xfinity Series? You know, you never ran an ARCA race? So, you know, that my point, especially, you know, back in the first segment, was that if NASCAR could have run this race without fans there, but been the only sport on TV, the only live action going on, with every other sport being postponed and, you know, canceled, it would have sat there and got them so much interest, so much exposure. So many people would have watched. The ratings would have just ballooned through the roof. You could have exposed millions upon millions of new fans to the sport, people that sit there, oh, NASCAR, and roll their eyes, but they never gave it a shot. It would have given them a huge boost, especially since, you know, with how bad they're hurting for sponsorship, how, you know, like you said, Larry, not being able to fill the field, it would have just been immense and a hell of a win for NASCAR, and they couldn't do it. So it's sad, but those are the times that we're in.
That kind of reminds me of 1979, which was the first live broadcast of the Daytona 500. when the Northeast got all snowed in, and they really got a great TV audience because the people were snowed in and didn't have much of anything else to watch.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And that's a thing. It's got to be frustrating for the IndyCar and NASCAR guys, you know, for the powers to be and the teams and everything, because they were looking at this thing was going to be epic. And then when you had the PGA and everybody else close in, I think they would have had a negative impact, and especially negative perception if they were the only team, you know.
A negative perception when you got Brian France suing drunken Brian France over some stupid tweets.
Point made.
I don't think negative perception even enters the picture there. You want to talk about the kick in the pants it would have been for Bob's air fresheners, you know, who wrote a check for $60,000 to show up on Timmy Hill's car, or, you know, whatever stupid small sponsor you never heard of. It would have just been huge exposure. And a lot of those companies, you know, would have sat there and said, oh man, investing in NASCAR, this is awesome. This really worked out in our favor. I can't wait to do this next year. And then maybe I'll sign up and do it the year after and the year after that. So a lot of downside by them not running.
Well, IndyCar also canceled their race in St. Pete. But, Steve, talking about IndyCars, who do you look for to have a breakout 2020 season?
Well, it's going to be interesting now how this affects some of the teams in that, because there's a lot of Colton Herta is going to be the next superstar. And if he can kind of reach that where he's quick everywhere, that's one. Of course, the one that really intrigues me though is Scott McLaughlin coming over from the Australian Supercar team, and I'm kind of curious to see what he does at the Indy Grand Prix. Hopefully that it will run, and then perhaps later in the year with Penske. I'm kind of curious to see if he's able to, with his what he's able to do this year, does that propel him into a full-time gig next year? Time will tell, and if that's the case, who's on the outside looking in? I'll give you another one if you want.
Okay, sure.
What do you got? Give me another.
I'm sorry.
Another question.
Yeah, here's a trivia question for you. Who's the last American to race in F1?
It is. I was going to say Scott Speed, but no, it's not. It is. Alexander Rossi.
Go to the head of your class. You got time for one more quick one?
Yeah.
When was the last Indy 500 won in a car other than a Dallara? What year, what driver, and what kind of car?
I will say 2004. With Buddy Rice and a G-Force.
You are the man.
Really? I got that.
I just want to say something. This week I sent something to Steve that I saw in National Speedsport News, and I was really floored by this, that there were 30 living Indy 500 winners. And within 10 minutes, you sent me back an email saying you counted 31, and you were right.
And I did off the top of my head too. Well, you know, what's always harder is the new guys. Cause right now we're at a situation where Parnelli Jones is your oldest Indy winner who won in 63. But for when winning is actually AJ Foyt at 60. Unfortunately, everybody from 1960 and prior is gone. So you got, Foyt who won in 61, 64, 67, 77. Then you got Parnelli. And then you go to 65, well, Clark gone, Graham Hill gone. And then you get a few good hits there with Bobby Unser, who won it three times. You got Mario, who won it once in 69. And then 70, you got Big Al. And then, of course, we lost Mark Donahue in F1 in 75, who won in 1972. And then you go, John Cock is still with us. Johnny Rutherford, who won it three times, still with us. You go down to then 79 is your next new winner. That would be Rick Mears. And then you got Rutherford again, and then Bobby Unser, and then 82, you got John Cock again, all repeat winners. And then 83 before you get a new winner, which is Sneva, and then you got Mears, Danny Sullivan. You get a couple here with Sullivan and Ray Hall. And then 87, Al Sr., 88, Mears, 89, Emerson Fittipaldi, who won it twice. And then you got Al Jr., and then you got to wait until 95, Jacques Villeneuve. And then you get a bunch. And then this is where it really starts getting interesting, because you got Villeneuve, and then you go Buddy Lazier, and then a repeat winner with Lion Dyke in 97. Then you got Eddie Cheever, 99, Brack. And then 2000, you got Cart coming back with Montoya. And then you got Elio, who's won it four times. And then three times. And then the one who's kind of gets forgotten is Gilles Deferrin. And then you have, let's see, Buddy Rice is in there. And then Dario is a three-time winner. And then you got Weldon, who won it twice. And, of course, we don't have Weldon anymore. And then, then you got to really start thinking. Let's see, Tony Kanaan's in there. And that's where you start going with all these guys, Ryan Hunter Ray. And then you're thinking, who are these guys? Who won it last year? You're trying to, Pagano and all those guys. So, yeah, harder with the new guys. So,
what's really neat is it's been nine different winners in the last nine years. That really adds them up fast.
It's going to be interesting to see, and hopefully we'll be running it. Otherwise, you know what? I'm going to be saving a heck of a lot of money in May, Jeff, if I don't go to Indy this year.
Sweet. I'm glad my Christmas present will be that much bigger, Steve.
Larry, thank you once again for coming on the show. We certainly appreciate it.
No problem. Have a great weekend.
You Take too. Care. All right. That was Larry Janicek on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Hey, has your passion outgrown your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com today. Simply local lending since 1935.
We'll close out the show coming up next on the Final Inspection Show. Last week, we talked with Willie T. Ribbs about his documentary that you can get on Netflix called Uppity. Gotta watch it, especially with the times we're in now. Watch that. You will get your racing fix from that. Here's Willie T. Ribbs from last week. For those who may not be aware, Willie's son, Theo, is a world championship shooter. And how did that come about?
Well, a lot of the race drivers, when I was racing Andretti's, for example, Murray Hall and a few others, they like to go out and golf. That was their recreation if they weren't driving. Golf is way too quiet for me. Anything I do, I want to hear some noise. I mean, no matter where it is, in the bedroom, in a race car, or shooting a shotgun. So that was my hobby. I grew up shooting with my grandpa on the ranch and hunting quail and pheasant. And when I retired from racing, I started clay shooting. And then my son would go with me as a little kid and push the buttons when we were practicing. And he started shooting when he was 9. And by the time he was 14, he was one of the top juniors in the world. And then then he became junior national champion, then K-Cup national champion after he was 21, and now one of the top shooters in the world. In fact, he's won his first two events this year in Florida and just recently last weekend in Georgia.
Excellent. Very good. And for a guy who's been out of racing for a few years, the last few years have been just incredible. I guess it started with Adam Carolla and Nate Adams, who did a documentary on Paul Newman, in which you were part of. And from that, this documentary came about. And we mentioned it last time you were on the show, you kind of stole the movie a bit on that Paul Newman, on how Paul helped you with your career in that, and your attitudes that he was able to show you and kind of warn you of the pitfalls was certainly a compelling story. And Nate Adams, who I've got to know over the last couple of years, a fantastic, talented producer and director, put together this documentary. Kind of walk us through how that how they approached you on that to do this one up.
Well, when we were done with the Newman Project, Adam Carolla contacted me and said that, you know, you got a great story and the world needs to see it. And so I said, on one condition, we tell the truth and we're not going to sweep anything under the carpet. It's going to be the good, the bad, and the ugly. And the ugly is going to get their butts hurt. And as my grandpa used to say, that's why you got a butt. So we did the film, and it's been worldwide. We were number one on Netflix worldwide for a week. So the response worldwide has been phenomenal. The job that Nate Adams and Adam did and Tony, their editor, is just, it tells a story, and it's not about racing, really. Racing was the platform. It was about perseverance and never quitting. And I've got young millennials contacting me crying as to what it meant to them. They in tears that they have no excuse. They have no excuse not to succeed after watching the film.
It certainly is. Yeah, that's a good point that you brought up.
Okay, Mr. Ribs, it's Jeff. You've raced more in the last few years than you probably have in the last 10 or 15. Did you ever think you'd be back behind the wheel like you are now?
No. I was traveling around the world with Theo, you know, with his competitions worldwide. However, I didn't think I was going to be pulled out of the pasture. You know, I was ready for the glue factory and dog food. And then I got a phone call from Tony Perella, the owner of SVRA, who said that he wanted to put a bunch of former IndyCar drivers and NASCAR drivers together and sort of recreate IROC, but only in vintage cars. So we are now competing in V-ROC, which is Vintage Race of Champions, against Alan Sir Jr. and Bobby Labonte and Mike Skinner and Max Pappas and Paul Tra- the lineup for V-ROC is actually bigger than the IndyCar series today.
It is, yeah. Well, yeah, anything with Paul Tracy makes it bigger than life, doesn't it?
Well, you know, something's going to get knocked over. right. So I always called him Dick Tracy, because he was Mr. Excitement. And you know, we're not as fast as we used to be. It's like any former great basketball player. They've lost some feathers. Well, we lost some feathers, but the fan response has been insane. And, you know, we're racing at Road Atlanta in March this year, the end of March, and then Indy in June, Father's Day weekend, then Virginia in September, and then final, which is an add-on. We were only doing three races. Now it's four, and Texas at COTA, the Formula One premier racetrack here, is got the finale.
And what's next for you, Willie?
It's happening every day, something new.
Right.
New speaking engagements, and I'm working now with Scott Bruschetta, who was Taylor Swift's former agent manager. In fact, he discovered Taylor Swift. So, Bruschetta's got a laundry list of things that he's getting me involved in.
He's a neat guy. A funny story, real quick. I'm at at a party at the Indianapolis Motor Museum, and my friend is there, and his son is there, and at that time his fiance, and we mentioned Scott, and she like, what? She's like, yeah, we were talking to him about a vintage IndyCar that he was restoring, and he was looking for some help on and parts and whatnot, and she is just melting. She's like, oh my God, is she, you know, because she was an amateur singer. She does singing on the side, and then she explained, I didn't know at the time. I knew he was involved with Big Machine Records and that, but I didn't know how involved with, you know, American Idol and all the other thing. So we brought her over there and introduced Scott to her, and she was just a bowl of jelly the rest of the weekend. A lot of fun. But he's a neat guy, owns a fabulous bunch of vintage Indy cars, mainly Dan Gurney Eagles. And, of course, Dan Gurney, you had the pleasure to race for him in the 80s in the Trans Am series. Just a last question real quick. Give me a good Dan Gurney story.
Dan Gurney was the master of sarcasm. And he used to have titles for, like, General Motors. He'd call it Generous Motors. He was just phenomenal to work with. And
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.